Cinema Classics is brought to you by the Gateway Film Center at the South Campus Gateway at 1550 North High Street. Further details and showtimes online at gatewayfilmcenter.com.
Cinema Classics is produced by John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto. Listen to the shows online at wcbe.org. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Johnny DiLoretto, and this is Cinema Classics. And speaking of classics, John, Western classics.
Oh, it must be summer.
It is summertime. It's double barrel film series time. Yeehaw. At the Gateway Film Center.
Yeah.
We're very excited about it because, as you know, I'm a huge Western fan. You're a huge Western fan. The series is actually underway. It got started recently with The Outlaw Josie Wales, which is one of my favorite Westerns of all time, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And if you notice, those are two classic outlaw films. So the movies this year are kind of paired. They're partnered up thematically, which makes for a really interesting series.
And I like there that you have a more serious with The Outlaw Josie Wales and then a more lighthearted with Butch Cassidy and Sundance. It's a nice mix.
Perfect complement to each other.
Yep. However,
how
can you have a series if you don't have John Wayne?
You can't have it. You can't have it. You don't do it. Only a moron would attempt that. No, and you know, The Searchers is returning for a second go-around in the Double Barrel film series, but making its debut is Hondo.
Yeah.
Which is a really great John Wayne Western. You ever seen that
one? Yeah, I have, but it passes my memory.
It's fun. It's actually John Wayne launched his production company.
Right.
With Hondo, he sort of took control of his career at that point.
Sure.
You know, to ensure that he had commercial successes outside of his John Ford partnerships. But Hondo, he's like an army dispatch rider who comes across a woman and her son, and they're trying to survive in Apache country, and he helps him out. It's great. One of my favorite things in that movie is he sees a kid, he teaches him how to swim. He picks him up and just throws him in.
That would
be a typical.
But let me add to this.
Yeah.
Talking about where he had it made when he was working with John Ford. In The Searchers, there's an opening shot that may be my favorite opening shot
right. In
all of film history.
Well, it's not just yours. I mean,
no.
that's an iconic.
And you guys
shot.
Used it, I think, in the
promo spots.
Yes.
And you know, it's also a shot that comes back Eastwood echoes in Unforgiven, which closes out this series.
Okay.
Along with Winchester 73, which is great Jimmy Stewart Western. And actually, the movie that is responsible for resurrecting Jimmy Stewart's post-war career. You know, after he came back from World War II, It's a Wonderful Life and a couple of his other efforts flopped, and they didn't know if Jimmy Stewart was actually going to, you know, survive.
Right.
So he made Winchester 73 with Anthony Mann. Big hit, and actually he started that whole bit where like actors get a little piece of the back end.
Yes, all right.
Jimmy Stewart worked that into his contract, and it changed the way movie stars did business.
That's excellent.
That's a great movie.
But you know, again, talking about that lighthearted Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid,
mm-hmm.
Are there any other comedies here in this? This is also serious.
No, there's Rango.
Oh, love it. And that's an animation.
Yeah. So, and we're going to do a root beer tasting with that movie.
Oh, I love that little movie.
And Three Amigos makes its debut.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, Martin Short in their little spoof of The Magnificent Seven,
yes,
basically.
Yes. Well, you also have Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
And there, if you think about any comedy satire, mm-hmm. and as I usually like to say, revisionist Western, you have Blazing Saddles.
It's kind of hard to underestimate how forward-thinking that movie is, how edgy it is. It's still, that movie is still out there.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
On the front lines of really just grappling with race. I mean, I think today, even, that would be a hard movie for a lot of people to watch.
Yep.
It's hilarious, but, you know, it's a confrontational comedy.
Yeah.
It's and a great
there's
movie.
There's a recent wave of adulation for Mel Brooks coming mm-hmm. up now as he approaches the end of his life.
Sure.
And well-deserved. But, you know, you talk about your boy Eastwood, and when I think about 3, 2, 1, and when I think about Eli Wallach,
mm-hmm.
and I get these guys together, And there may not be another movie that strikes me as memorable as The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Well, it's opera. It's Western as opera.
Yes, it's like what we all said.
And it's beautiful. Yeah, it kind of takes all the Western tropes that had preceded it and blew them up into this huge kind of, it just magnified them and brought them to everyone's attention without making fun of them.
Well, and there's,
and without spoofing them.
You know, that's a good point, because the genius of that movie is that it could have been a real, you know, tongue-in-cheeker.
Right.
When they had so many of the tropes in there, but somehow they make it heavyweight and powerful. And yet you can sit back and say, oh, yeah, yeah.
It's because Sergio Leone revered the Western.
Ah, yes.
He loved it. Yes. He loved those moments. He was blowing up into larger-than-life kind of moments. One of the other movies on here that I want to talk about, which is a personal favorite of mine, is The Professionals.
Oh.
You know, Come the Magnificent Seven, that was the beginning of the team Western.
Teams, yes.
You know, right?
That must have been something in our culture.
Yeah, it was. Right around the 60s, The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
You know,
where we saw
Force 10 from Navarone.
I don't know if that's because of Vietnam or whatever, that we needed to work together.
Yeah.
And in this case, bad guys are working together and the professionals.
And the professional. Well, yeah, but for a good cause. They're like mercenaries. Yes. They're led by Lee Marvin. And Lee Marvin is the leader. And Burt Lancaster, in a great role, is the demolitions expert. He's blowing stuff up.
Great.
Woody Strode is like the marksman. It's such a great, fun movie. Not a lot of people know about it. I would encourage him to see it because it's a ball.
Well, it's a fortuitous conjunction of that with The Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
You know, great.
Three team Westerns.
Yes. And of course, my favorite Western of all time, The Magnificent Seven,
mm-hmm.
which to me, again, is that team effort, even though the team suffers badly.
Yeah.
It's always the team that is either dead or going off after having done good.
Right.
Again, the Vietnam metaphor works. Mm-hmm. It's what happened to us. So, it's a really good time for that. But
let's see what else we got.
Yeah, we got also.
Oh, let's talk about the female stuff.
Okay.
And then we'll transition.
There are very few shots that are more iconic than Lee Marvin on his horse leaning against the wall, dead drunk. In Cat Blue.
Right.
That's also a Jane Fonda vehicle.
Another great way, like, that we're mixing up the series this year, you know, with comedy, with some new titles that not a lot of people have seen. I'm sure there are a lot of people who love Westerns who have not seen Cat Blue. And this is a great opportunity to do that. There's also some great female-centric movies, or not where they're centric, rather, but they're included.
Yeah.
McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Altman's revisionist Western with Warren Beatty and Julie Christie.
Sure. And I think also when you consider The Unforgiven that's coming after that,
mm-hmm.
you've got two movies that really changed the scene, the way you looked at Westerns. This is a gritty Western about prostitution, but it's also about building up a town. It's also about the encroachment of civilization on the West. It's really neat stuff.
Yeah. And it takes that, it's, you know, Pacific Northwest. It's very talky.
Right.
But, you know, it's typical Altman. It's Altman working in a different kind of framework. Another movie I'm really excited about is Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Yeah, you know, that's one that I've lost a sense of it. Although
it's great.
That Shirley MacLaine.
It's Clint Eastwood and Shirley MacLaine. First of all, come on. You know, that's an underrated pairing.
It sure is.
And Don Siegel directs. You know, Don Siegel was the guy that shepherded
Dirty Harry's,
Don Siegel was the guy that shepherded Clint Eastwood into his Dirty Harry role.
Yeah.
And this is just a great Western. There's a lot of interplay between them that's really wonderful.
And I think, you know, as you end up the series with Winchester 73, as you said, but also The Forgiven, which you and I have talked about. And as you end that series, and you've talked about Winchester 73, a perfectly good one to end because I haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah.
But the one that strikes me, the penultimate movie in this series, is Unforgiven.
Yeah. Which is, as we've said many times on this show, one of the great American films. And it's a great gateway, if you'll excuse the pun. It's a great gateway Western for people who are unfamiliar with the genre. Or, you know, they don't know if they'll like it or not. Okay. It is just such a solid movie A lot, if you don't know Westerns, I think a lot of the mythos that Eastwood is playing with could be lost, but it's just such an entertainment.
And for those who want... Three, two. For those who want to see a game changer, Unforgiven was. It won the Oscar for him, for the movie, but it was a different look, a different way of looking at Westerns.
As depressing as it is, it's kind of the gravestone of Westerns.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I've said this again. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Eastwood had the last word on that genre.